Welcome to the 4 Minute Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 13th of March, recording at 8:04 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights on another interesting day. Aren't they all? Well, some more than others, and this is definitely one of the more interesting ones from my perspective. First, Asian stock markets. A bit grim, really. Most of them were quite weak, including China extending its overall decline. And that's having some sort of leash effect, clearly. European stock markets were also quite weak, although off their worst lows. Now, U.S. stock markets, and this is really the story here among equities, U.S. stock markets opened weak, plunged down. We had the Dow down about 225 points at one stage, then mounted a slow, choppy recovery, eventually moved up to, I think, almost 100 points on the Dow, and closed out with modest gains, ranging from 35 points on the Dow, or 0.29% to bit better, 0.5% on the S&P and 0.88% on the NASDAQ Composite Index. Markets were roiled first by the Carlyle bond fund failure, and they were then boosted a little bit by an S&P, that's the rating group, S&P announcement that they felt that the worst of the write-downs had actually been seen. Now, no doubt, because they were behind a lot of those AAA ratings, that this comment from them will be greeted with a certain amount of derision. But I'd be careful about being too skeptical about that, because one of the things I've often said throughout this crisis is that we would get all the write-downs, and we would get more than enough write-downs, and all that would be blamed on the predecessors by the current management teams, and then we would get the write-ups, as some of the situations that they had written down do not end up as being total write-offs by any means. And the current management will no doubt take all the credit for that, and the bonuses to boot, when profits do pick up a bit. Okay, what else went on here in the markets today? Government bonds, a little bit easier in terms of bond prices in the U.S., a little bit, they were firm in the U.K., looks like unchanged on the bunds. Another important story here, the U.S. dollar has fallen to yet another low. It's been winging around a little bit, but as I speak, the euro is up to 156.15. Sterling has climbed back up to 203.19. And what else? The Australian dollar's had a good day here, 94.49. The dollar did slip under the 100 yen mark, but couldn't hold it currently. But currently down over a yen at 166. Now, in metals, we had gold test the. Well, let me see. Maybe I don't want to exaggerate here. No, but it did actually do it. Gold bullion got up over the nice round 1,000 level, got up to $1,000.45, and then pulled back a little bit. Currently trading at 995.40. That's still up 12.5 on the day. And the other precious metals were quite strong, particularly silver, but platinum had a pretty good day in here as well. Among the industrial metals, I think tin and nickel were up. The others were a little bit easier. I think wheat rebounded in here today, but it got pretty choppy action in a lot of these things. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, You will have observed, perhaps, that there's a fair amount of volatility here in the stock markets, and not least on Wall Street. That's what happens at market bottoms. You get these big struggles in here where markets get slammed and then they rebound, only to get slammed again and then only to rebound again. It's churning activity. You get the same thing, of course, at tops. It's a war between supply and demand, and emotions run high, and people are jumping between the bull and the bear camp with regularity. Now, I think the action here, as I say, is quite consistent with a bottoming out process, but I had someone say to me today, well, could that and that impressive, really bullish sentiment reading from Investors Intelligence that I posted yesterday, I said, now, could that just mean that we get a bounce from a low and not the low? Well, yes, of course, that's a possibility. Anything is in with a possibility here, in terms, statistically at any rate, as far as script is concerned. But these are important sentiment indicators. There have been some dramatically bullish readings here. So my hunch, and I'm inclined very much to give this the benefit of the doubt until or unless proved otherwise, is that these lows are for the most part holding in here, where they've even been tested, and we have not had the downward breaks that everyone is saying that was virtually guaranteed for Wall Street. So we've had this extreme of bearish sentiment, and yet we have not followed through on the downside yet. Now maybe all that changes tomorrow or next week in here. But even if that happens, such as the and it's, that was not a forecast, it was a hypothesis. But even if that were to happen, I don't think that there's big downside risk from these levels. And what's really going on here in terms of this war between supply and demand? Well, we have aggressive deleveraging. Some of it's forced. Margin calls. A lot of it is forced. Others, just investors piling out here. Well, people are terrified by that, understandably, and they see that cascading and going on, well, for however long their fertile imaginations tell them it will go on for. On the other side of the equation, we see the central banks pumping in billions, and they can go on doing this, and quite probably will. Having started to do this, I don't think they're going to stop, because Wall Street or some other stock market index takes out its reaction low. I think that would provoke them into more of that type of reflationary activity. So that's what's actually taking place. And the net effect of all this is that a lot of risk is being reduced in the market. In other words, these highly leveraged, dodgy funds, this is all unwinding. So the risk is going down at a time when people think it's going up. They always think the risk is going up near the bottom of the market. Fear is never so great, and people are never so bearish as at the bottom of a market. Veteran subscribers will have seen that many times before, as I certainly have over the last 43 years or so in this as full time in this business. So to say that risk is being edged out, and this is increasing valuations in a number of interesting situations, because some of this forced selling is, of course, selling the good stuff as well as the bad. And why do people sell the good stuff? Well, because they can. And somebody who's trying to raise cash will definitely sell some of their best positions, and because that's where they can still get the best prices in that scramble for liquidity. So that's creating bargains in here. And I talked to somebody else who was saying, well, you know, and somebody who's been quite bearish for a while, but said that he was seeing some of the best valuations since the 2001, 2002 period. Now that's really quite interesting. And yields are pushing up, of course, when you have these weak markets, or have pushed up considerably in a number of instances. And Owen will be doing a run on yields and filtering them out, looking at high yielders and that are covered where they have a dividend cover of at least 2 times in terms of their cash reserves. So again, I emphasize that valuations are improving here, although if you one reads the extrapolations of the downward moves, and it's getting ridiculous. You know, one person says 500 billion. It's like an auction here. I think so one person says, "What are you bidding me for?" Subprime slime write downs. Somebody says 500 billion, and somebody else says, "No, 700 billion," and then somebody says, "No, 1200 billion," and we go on, and somebody says, "Well, you factor in all the other ancillary stuff, and we're talking about 3 trillion," and so on and so on. It's just going on and on. People extrapolating this, and I think a lot of that is just fertile imagination, hysteria. Very emotional, more emotional than analytical. At times like this, I am much, much more impressed by the sentiment indicators than anything else. And as I said at the beginning of this broadcast, the sentiment indicators have been giving some very bullish readings. Now, that doesn't mean that things go racing ahead on the upside. Not at all, and it's not just subprime that the markets have to be concerned with. Gold did hit a new high here today. I already mentioned that. Crude oil hit another high here today at $111 for the light sweet crude. Natural gas is pushing up once again. So we have this, and the dollar has extended its what has been an near unrelenting decline. So there are lots of things to create anxiety in here right now, and chances are we're going to have a fairly long convalescence, as I've said all along, because some economic damage has certainly occurred as well. But my yen, to try to wrap it all up, I do not feel, even if the lows were to be taken out by leading indices, I do not see that as opening the door to another huge sell-off. I maintain that we are now in the bottoming out process for most of these indices, and some of them have already bottomed and are well above those lows. They're mainly in fuller money themes, of course, and those would be mean the resources exporting emerging markets have done particularly well. Okay, what else to mention in here? I said that I thought that despite the growing inflationary pressures and the lousy long-term yields, that these long-dated government bonds might hold up a little better than I had previously expected. I'd previously felt that once stock markets started to recover, that that would weigh on them, and it certainly will be a headwind because people who retreated into those bonds will be will start to come out. And there's also a lot of supply as far as those bonds are concerned, but it's this recapitalizing the banks through the yield curve, and particularly in the USA, and the Fed may well help to with its own intervention to help to keep those yields from backing up any time too soon. We will see. Certainly, though, a stock market recovery will when people are looking beyond the slough of this economic slowdown in the U.S. and beginning to discount the economic recovery that always follows these sharp slowdowns or recessions, we'll start to focus on inflation, and that'll be another big headwind, and eventually that will drive the long-dated yields and back up, but perhaps not all that quickly. We'll see. The charts will show us. And precious metals. Well, my view remains that this is a mature stage of this medium-term cycle. But I said yesterday that I felt that gold would push up and hit at least the $1,000 level. So it's done that. With the dollar weak and gold appreciating against most currencies, I wouldn't be surprised if the precious metals don't register a few more gains in here. And some of those might be fairly substantial. I'll play it according to the charts. I mean, I bought some gold futures again yesterday, and I've got those protected with sort of break-even stops. The markets are volatile. I'll come out if they run on the upside and accelerate. Well, great. I'll be in for the ride. It's a long-term bull market, though. Whatever highs we get in the medium term, I very much doubt that those will be the final highs. What about the dollar? So weak. We had the ECB complaining about that in here today. I would expect them to crank up the rhetoric as well. So we'll get some choppy action and some dollar short covering from time to time, although we've seen precious little of it of late. But the more the dollar gets stretched on the downside in the short term, the more prone it will be to a rally. But what kind of a rally are we going to get? Will it get back up to the underside of its range on the US dollar index? Possibly, but I certainly don't think it's going to be the beginning of any great recovery for the dollar. The interest rates won't warrant it. The printing that's going on won't warrant it. The US economic conditions won't warrant it, although the trade and current account deficit is coming down as the US imports less due to the slowing overall economy. But I'll stick with my view that we won't get a sustained we won't get a good big medium-term rally in the dollar until the US economy is clearly recovering. And the Fed is pushing interest rates up once again. That will happen, but I won't be holding my breath. And equally, I don't expect the dollar to go into terminal Weimar or Zimbabwean style decline here because of the underlying residual productivity and vitality of the U.S. economy, albeit somewhat damaged, but we will see. We will certainly see the U.S. economy rebound, led, of course, by those multinational companies, which are benefiting enormously from that weak dollar, as I've said before. I also maintain that the food prices and the industrial metal prices are going to go higher here, along with the energy prices, albeit in a somewhat choppy fashion, but these remain secular bull markets. And don't know about you, but I can't wait to see what tomorrow brings as well. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.